And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello, it's Matthew Tosh here, back in the hot seat with the one and only Laura Lelamy.
And this week we have got some good stuff for you. So lots of queer, trans, intersex people of colour.
Yes, Black History Month is in full swing. We hear the latest from Kiki Bristol and find out what it's like being black and gay in a modern police force.
Plus news, music and hopefully not too many bad Matthew jokes.
Oh, thank you. Welcome aboard. What do you mean bad jokes? Where did that come from?
I mean, your jokes aren't the best. Let's just be honest with that. They're not, like, dad jokes aren't really my thing.
I've been away for a few weeks, had a holiday, come back all refreshed, and I come back to this abuse.
I mean, if you can't handle it, get out the kitchen. Get out the kitchen, it's too
Laura,
hot.
Laura, it's
clearly.
Lovely to see you as well. How are
it's
you doing?
It's been lush to see you too. I haven't seen you in ages.
Well, like I said, I have been away, but on a little tour,
yeah.
And also managed to shoehorn a little holiday in as well, which
Ooh,
was...
Ooh, where'd
which,
you go?
La France.
Yeah, France. La France, vive la France.
It was good, yeah. It was nice to be out there, with a bit of mountain air and things like that. So,
okay, whereabouts in France did you go?
The Alps.
Ooh,
so not far from,
do you know what? I feel like it's a bougie kind of not gonna lie, white person thing. Like, I don't think my mum or my dad would ever be cool with being cold for very long. They're like, we're born in hot countries for a reason. I was like, I won't argue with that. I'd rather lie on a beach with a sangria than be cold and freezing down a slope hurtling us towards my death, which it would feel like.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Some people are happier if you had a choice between being hot and cold.
Yeah.
You're saying you prefer to be hot?
No. Oh. I wouldn't prefer to be hot, but, like, out of choice, I would rather be in a bikini than, like, having 5,000 layers.
Five duvets.
Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just to feel like I was warm. Do you know what I mean?
I get that. Yeah,
and
I get that.
Plus, like, because I've been to, like, Cuba and places like that, it's really nice to just sit on the beach, and like when you go into the water, it's basically like a bath, which sounds weird, but it's a bath that you share with other people and fishes. And I tried to feed the fish and I kind of got scared and ran out.
You've got fish, you've got baths, you've got people. Oh, you're talking about the sea, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm talking about the sea. Yeah, the sea was gorgeous. So I recommend Cuba to anyone that can get over there. Plus, it's really authentic and they start breaking out in song. Like, and you're just like, oh God, like they're like, ¿cuánto le meta? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so enthralled by it. I love it.
I'm feeling it. Steffi Barnett, producer, are you feeling this enthusiasm?
Feeling the enthusiasm.
I hope so. Yes. I'm giving it all to you.
Because my lad lives in Barbados. Ooh. And I know what you mean about the warm water.
Yeah, it's lush, isn't it? And then you see all the fish and like you have to go a little bit deep and you just see like schools of fish running around.
Yeah.
Like, going on their school run or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It is nice. The good side, though, the upside of being in the snow and on the piste is the fact that you can have hot chocolate with rum in it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything with rum in it is got my
and
vote.
And it has to specifically be Mount Gay rum.
Oh.
Mount Gay. From Barbados.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, it is actually a thing.
Yes,
Mount Gay is a
Bayesian
thing.
Rum.
Yeah. I love it. It's white rum in there.
No, dark.
Dark. Yeah, see, the thing is, white rum to me is like paint stripper. Like, it'll get the job done. You will obviously get drunk. Like, that is, if that's your aim. Yeah, it's good in a rum cocktail, but like on its own, that will knock your, it'll basically make you feel like your throat's on fire.
Right, it sounds like you're already on fire. Now, this week's topic, our focus, of course, it is Black History Month.
It
so we're going to be talking QTPOC. Now, people who have heard this acronym, we've used it many times on Shout Out. We're trying to get people used to it. Run it past us again, Laura. What does
so,
it stand for?
QTPOC stands for, I'm trying not to get this wrong, queer, trans, intersex, people of colour.
People of colour, exactly. And why is it important that we have that particular focus? Because one could argue that the LGBT community should be all as one.
I mean, it's interesting because I, with a lot of my activism, people say that we're actively segregating ourselves when we create communities amongst ourselves. But what you understand is, like, we need to support ourselves. We aren't, there's still racism within the LGBT plus society. So we need a place and a society and a community where we can feel like ourselves and feel like we're not the other. Like, the amount of othering that gets done within the UK is quite significant. Even saying things like, oh, can I touch your hair? When you wouldn't really normally say it to anyone else, or like, you don't sound like a black person, which I heard quite a lot. It's still important to go and complain to your fellow black people and BME people about these issues, because again, you understand, you get that understanding from those people, which is important.
It's very important. We've got lots of nodding coming in around the studio, because we should perhaps introduce some of our guests tonight. Laura, I feel this is your domain.
This is my domain. So hello, Peter. Hello, Edson.
Hello, Laura.
Hello, Laura.
How are you? These are my fellow family from Kiki, and this week we're going to be taking over, like we say, for Black History Month. I just wanted to ask you, what have you been up to this month? Have you been doing anything to do with Black History Month? I mean, I've been doing tons of things. I can't wait to share with you.
But I know you've been so busy.
I have been doing
loads of stuff. I've been a bit quieter this Black History Month. My work, where I work at Lawrence Hill with the DVSA, they've been putting on bits and bobs, and they've been doing blog posts, etc. But I've been a bit underground this month. How about you, Edson? What have you been up to?
Oh dear, magic question. What did I do yesterday?
I just passed that over.
What did I do yesterday? I can't remember. Last week I did a lecture at Bristol University around Afrofuturism.
I remember that.
And then I went from there to an assembly at the Cathedral School, in which they asked me to just share some thoughts as to why Black History Month is important. And I'm working on a couple of scripts, and I've done a few other things for Black History Month. And this Sunday, I'll be taking a walk. I'll be taking some people around the slavery trail in Bristol. It does coincide with lots of other key events as well. So Festival of the Future City and so on as well.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So, I mean, I've been doing quite a few things. I've been on a panel and stuff like that. But something that we were discussing, and we'll discuss in when we have longer, is like, do we actually need Black History Month?
Yes.
Because that, see, I would argue no.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It's a weird thing.
Okay, come at me. Tell me.
Because the thing is, I was educated by my brother, I share the opinion, yeah, we do need it, because how we are as a society now, it still is very much that it's still quite a racist society. If you go to places like maybe Norfolk or like Suffolk or places like that, which are white dominated, you will get some kind of racial kind of injustice there. But it shouldn't be that our history is only celebrated in one month. Do you know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
For me, it feels like our history should be in the history books already. Like, it shouldn't be that.
But if I think back many, many years ago when I was at school, learning about history, the only history I ever learned surrounding people of colour or black people was the slave trade.
This is what I mean, though. That's not fair. Like, we only taught our oppression. We only taught about the apartheid or about slavery or about the civil rights movement. We're not really taught about how in ancient Africa they had mathematicians, they had engineers, they had like astrologers, and they were all amazing, clever people that actually brought a lot of the knowledge to Europe.
Yeah.
And a lot of the knowledge was colonized, so we're not taught about that. So that's
what you're saying, change the curriculum.
Yeah, what I'm campaigning for. That's what my lecture was on yesterday.
Okay, I just want to just throw out some thoughts. Where do I start? I'm just going to be the grumpy older person in the room. I think it's a real misnomer about Black History Month not being celebrated around here. It is. I just find that from January onwards, there is just a regular diet of activities, either involving myself or other people, in which aspects of Black history are discussed and very cogent.
Yeah.
So, you know, for example, Bristol is a city that is exploring the legacy of the transatlantic slave trade. That doesn't just happen in October. What I would say is support more people. Come on. I got people saying that Black History Month only comes in October, but they don't go to the events that are publicized throughout the year. They come out in October.
But that's the
so
thing.
Then
that's
they say it's only happening in October. Yeah, but that's come out.
But that's
come
the thing.
Your yard.
But this is the thing. That's what I'm saying. They only come out, or not even in October. Like, it should be all year round. So by making it October, that's when people are, oh yeah, I'll engage with it then, but I won't engage it with the rest of the year because I've done my little allyship thing.
No, yeah. I'm talking about Black people.
Oh,
I'm talking
okay.
two and two black people. So I would say that a lot of the events that I attend, white allies, white friends, whatever language you use, actually they're very healthily attended by white people.
Yeah,
some
I
of
know,
them would only survive. So if I look at film screenings, for example, a win in BFI eyes is if you can get like a 20% black audience.
Yeah. Mm.
So actually, in terms of the business model, actually we need to engage more. And people do, and then they don't. Some of the structural things we've got to bear in mind as well, the demographics of this city are not the demographics of other cities. Mm. So it even comes out in theatre. Can you run a play for 2 weeks in Bristol? Or is it really a week? Because actually you won't get enough people.
Okay.
But so there are some things. Also, what we don't have is we don't have an institution that's capable of disseminating that information to a black audience in that way in which, you know, white media can be a bit more mainstream and reiterate issues. Not saying that people don't always have a marketing problem in terms of spreading the word, but I think that problem is intensified, so not everybody knows.
Yeah.
I run 5 different Facebook groups, most of them with the intention to just kind of let people know stuff.
Yeah.
But it's ad hoc, right?
Yeah.
I see something online, I'm like, oh, I think some people would like that. You know, Kiki does it. So
that's great
stuff, which
yeah. So I think we will get onto this more. I shouldn't have started that conversation.
It was
lighting a fire. So we'll be back in a sec and we'll be discussing this more. Thank
we
you.
We certainly will. Yeah, it's certainly feeling the love here. So yeah, I've got a bit of Lolita Holloway. We'll be back with more after this.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, you can't help listening to bits of that and think of The Ride on Time by Black Box.
Yay!
That is Lolita Holloway.
Yeah.
Love
yep.
Sensation.
I mean, I am a love sensation, let's admit that. Now, I have a lot of love to give, so well, here I am, the sensation.
Laura, that's precisely why we played the track.
Well, of course.
Of course.
Something to represent me.
Indeed. Now, that when they did that that Ride on Time, Black Box thing, where a lot of people in the studio happened to be singing, it was it did feature the original Lolita Holloway track, but it didn't actually get credited the sample. She didn't get credited in the Black Box track, and that didn't go down very well, as you can imagine.
I can imagine that.
And so it all got a bit nasty and led to a payout to Holloway, and it also resulted in the Black Box producers re-recording Ride on Time, and it became known as the UK remix, which did the rounds here and featured the one and only Heather Small. And that's before she went on to success with M People. But she didn't get credited on the record either. So I'm saying, why have you got these fantastic female vocalists, black vocalists, female vocalists, who weren't credited?
I mean, well, that actually speaks to what we're going to be talking about next, because a lot of black people in Kutupok history haven't been accredited with a lot of the stuff that they've done. And I feel like, especially with a lot of black women, we do a lot of labour for not a lot back, because we just want to do it and we love it and we have a pure heart. And a lot of people can explore like that, and I mean, it speaks to most things that happen. Like, a lot of black people have been exploited throughout history, so it's important that people are recognized. So that's what we're doing today. So I have asked my lovely lot to think of a person that they know have contributed to the LGBT tapestry, and talking about the past things that they have done. So I'm going to come at you with Peter.
Just before you start,
Lara,
because there were people who've just joined us, not actually aware of who we've got in the studio.
Oh, yeah, we haven't.
So I've got Edson Burton and Peter Shillingford.
Yes.
Think of that right? Yeah,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
Right.
Hello. Okay, so I may have mentioned it before, but I play for the Eastern Cowgirls football team.
You have not.
Go Eastern Cowgirls.
So
shout out, definitely. So I thought I would do my person, legend, on a football player.
Nice, I like it.
So, the person I was asked to, I thought I'd look into, is Justin Fashanu.
Okay.
Really, it's quite a tragic story of Justin Fashanu, but I'm going to concentrate on his life and what he's he's done.
It. Yeah.
So he was the son, along with his brother John, of a Nigerian barrister and a Guyanese nurse. They split up and he was fostered with his brother. And then fast forward a few more years into his teenage years and his older years, and he became an English footballer, starting his career in 1978. Now, Justin Fashanu is the first professional footballer to be openly gay.
Can I just say that name is amazing?
It is, isn't
it's great, isn't
it? Fashanu. I'm like, I want that name. Damn. Where's my Nigerian pals like that? Not that I love my last name, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, mine's quite boring. Shillingford.
I mean...
You don't get to choose it, though. That's
no,
the thing.
You don't. No.
I mean, to be honest, people still get my last name wrong, and it's the easiest African name you can actually say. So
and they still get it wrong.
Oh, God.
They get my name wrong as well, my first name, Peter.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that causes quite a lot of confusion.
But
I
anyway...
An I added to my name.
Go on.
An I, Edson, and it's Edison. No, Edison. Edison. And you end up in this navigational... just take out the I. Son of Ed.
I get called Laura, and I'm like, not my name. Not my name. Anyway, not my name. Anyway,
so
go on.
So noted now, this was back in, 1978 to 1997 was his career.
Oh,
and
wow.
Since then, there hasn't been an open Premiership football player since then. And he ended his career and he stopped playing Premiership football in 1997.
Mm.
Also, he was the first black footballer to transfer for £1 million, which is amazing. That was from Norwich City to Nottingham Forest. I did a quick calculation, and now that would be, in now money, that would be £2,680,000. Now, in Premiership football, that's not a lot, but back then, that was a lot of money. So, power to him, because he was very valued as a footballer.
Yeah, good player.
Yeah. So, he came out publicly to the press. And that's when things started to go downhill, really, for him. He thought he would get a lot of support, and it wasn't there. I mean,
today it still wouldn't be the support.
We don't even know, do we?
No, but like, it's still
there's no out footballers, professional footballers. Now, if you look at the women's side of things, there are quite a few.
Hella gay.
Yeah, hella gay, out, proud, supported.
What I like about it.
I know, straight from the get-go. And it's not even a factor in their game.
It's not even, no one questions that.
Exactly. And it's such a sad thing. And he came to such a sad end. And I think he's an absolute hero. He's an absolute trailblazer.
Mm.
And he's got my absolute respect. The Pink Paper listed him as 99 in the top 500 lesbian and gay heroes. And Netflix have released a film called Forbidden Games, the Justin Fashion News Story, so it might be worth checking that out.
Yeah, no, definitely, I've got to check that out.
Yeah.
It's so, and this is the thing, it's quite poignant, the fact that we have mentioned him, because football isn't necessarily the most comfortable environment for someone to come out, and it's so important for people to do that when they have that stage. And yes, it's hard, and yes, you don't have to, but to have that platform and say, look, I'm gay and I'm black and I'm an amazing player, showing that being gay has literally no effect on who you are as a player. It's just part of it.
They're important role models, aren't they?
Exactly. I can't imagine the what he got playing up from the stands, because even now we have a problem with racism within football,
man.
And he must have come against a lot of abuse. So yeah, he's got my absolute respect, Justin Fashanu.
Thank you for
what
mentioning
a legend.
Him. No, thank you. Like, it's so important to recognise these people.
I think one thing to bear in mind is he was also ostracised by his own brother at the time,
publicly,
and there was a reconciliation. But it's interesting looking at rugby and politics of football, just the old conservative masculine tropes that surround football. It is, I think, very difficult for footballers. And what you, I mean, interestingly, I was part of a discussion about Laurie Cunningham after a play on Tuesday. It was kick it out of football, had some commissions. Laurie Cunningham was one of the Three Degrees. West Bromwich Albion fielded three black players, and Laurie Cunningham was seen as the sort of the Ronaldo of his time, you know, amazing feat, great player, and one of the few black players, British players, to sign to European side Real Madrid and do the business there as well. So you kind of think these were players who were being monkey chants were just every minute.
Every minute.
Bananas, and so on. So the terraces is where, and came out of the discussion, it feels like the terraces are where people let rip. The things that they can't say in polite society, it's like, right, well, I'm watching a football game, I can say it. It's the environment, and you're looking for UEFA, FIFA, to have that sort of lead to protect gay players, black players. And, to be honest, this is the problem. You can't get over the lack of protection for players players of colour. It's not something they can hide. So would anybody feel that they're going to be any more protected?
But also beyond that, I think also if you've got an LGBTQ person in the audience and they see a player who they respect being subjected to that abuse and then nothing being done, how is that going to make that, particularly if it's a young person just finding themselves, they're going to grow up thinking, oh, that's what happens to us, and not then want to be themselves. That's the
risk. That's it. Probably is exactly why we haven't seen an openly gay footballer for a very
black footballer that day. I can't wait until that one footballer puts their head above the parapet and stands up.
A lot of rugby, some rugby players have done that, and they've still been kind of ostracized, and people have been like, "Oof," but they have had support. But like I said, football is this weird environment, because I've been to a few football games, Chelsea, and I love my Chelsea, but I also respect the fact that they are a horrific team sometimes in terms of their fan. They were shouting, I don't want to say it on now, but it was a offensive Jewish term. And they were saying that, and they were chanting that, and it wasn't actually to be racist. It was more to be because he wasn't from Tottenham, and Tottenham was founded by Jewish people. And it's that lack of knowledge that you can't chant that. You're not going to be chanting the N-word, so why are you chanting that word? So it's that whole ethos of being like, I can be whoever I want in this stand, and who's going to check me, because I can beat you up, I can do whatever, I've got my crowd around me. Do you know what I mean?
But it's also part of that bullying culture, you know, that happens, I think, particularly among men, that you should be able to take it.
Yeah, exactly.
If you get, well, you should be able to take it. You can't take it. You can't take a joke. What's wrong with you? You're a bit sensitive. And they're doing it on purpose to throw you off your game.
Edson, who is your person, though?
Okay, sorry.
I do love talking about football.
Stop butting in on Peter's, right?
No. Football is my favourite. Football is my favourite subject, but we do have to know yours.
Yeah. James Baldwin. So I was on the way here, I was kind of throwing up, Bayard Rustin, Linda Bellas, Michael Almond, da, da, da. But I keep coming back to James Baldwin. So James Baldwin was an African-American novelist, but one of the great American novelists. Born in 1924, died in 1987. And he was recently, maybe sort of brought back into popular awareness through the documentary film I Am Not Your Negro.
It's so good.
It's amazing, isn't it?
One of the most poignant things he says, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can be changed until it is faced. And that is one of my favourite quotes. Might get it tattered. But yeah.
It's like a master documentary on white supremacy, on blackness. It is so complex and so rich, and also so well put together. But I think that was really powerful for bringing one of the great novelists back into the public arena. So, I mean, it's books like Go Tell It on the Mountain, Another Country in particular, and then Giovanni's Room, which really sort of illuminated, lit me up when I was growing up, when I was younger, when I was at university. And I hadn't actually come across many black writers at all. It was on my first degree that I encountered the work of Alice Walker and so on and so on. But for me, it was James Baldwin just hit a spot because of the richness of his characters and his empathy. So this is a black gay man writing about racist white Americans and so on, but also with understanding, empathy, but at the same time, incredible sharpness and precision about what social justice should look like. He didn't, in some ways, in the environment, I think, which James Baldwin was in, intersectionality was... It was almost as if I think people felt they had to prioritize one thing over the other. Yeah. So it's interesting, the oblique references to his sexuality. He doesn't really talk about it much. And in fact, in Giovanni's Room, it's a beautiful story of a love story, but it's actually played out through white characters. So in some ways, he removes himself from it and so on. And I think there was, in some ways, him thinking, given the climate that he was in, given, I think, his sense of being an ambassadorial voice, I wonder if that in some ways hindered him from talking about his own relationships and about queerness. But it's there, it's evident, but it's just that he doesn't...
Explicitly say it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think for me as well, one of the great essayists, The Fire Next Time, full of eloquent rage, still some of the best essays one could ever read about race, but also just great pieces of writing. It was, for me, and also an inspiration as a writer, as to jump out of academia, because sometimes you can't say everything you want, but also how you can get to the nub of an emotional point.
Perfect. I love the people you've chosen. Thank you so much for being on here today. Thank you, Kiki. And Kiki are here on Facebook and on Instagram, so please follow us. It's Kiki Bristol.
Brilliant stuff. We'll be back shortly after Girl,
the Shout Out Podcast.
Oh God,
it's lovely,
why
isn't it?
Take me off then. Like, no,
we shouldn't tell the listener that it's you. It really is you.
You know when you're singing a song in a shower, you think you sound amazing. I was there, like living my best life. It was living through me, and then you had to cut it out.
We're running a bit over, so that was "Girl" by the Internet.
Yes, my favourite song.
Is that your song of the moment?
It makes me feel all gay inside. I love it.
Oh, lovely. Great stuff. Well, listen, we better shoot over to the news team who are standing by.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 24th of October.
One of the UK's legendary music bands is shortlisted to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So reports the British rock radio network Planet Rock. Judas Priest helped pioneer a hard rock sound during the 1970s with their 1977 release British Steel, considered a classic album in the genre. They in turn helped influence a whole group of other metal bands, including Iron Maiden and Death Leopard. Priest frontman and vocalist Rob Halford came out as gay in 1984 and is one of the few openly out men in the often macho world of heavy metal. Mr. Halford took the leather look of metal bands and turned it into more of a fetish ensemble, but still retains huge loyalty from his group's fan base. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame awards are chosen by a panel of around 1,000 artists and music industry insiders. Other nominees for the 2020 accolade includes T-Rex, whose lead singer, the late Mark Bolan, did much to popularise androgynous looks with men during the glam rock era. However, not everyone is entirely happy with the Hall of Fame setup. After being passed over for recognition once again, Bruce Dickinson of Iron Maiden slammed the Hall of Fame as run by a bunch of sanctimonious boob Americans who wouldn't know rock and roll if it hit them in the face.
The local TV channel Bristol TV reports that police are seeking witnesses to an attack on a teenage lad that took place on Old Market in the city centre. Although the incident is not believed to be homophobically related, the fact of an assault in an area known as the Bristol Gay Village, will concern many LGBTQ locals. The boy sustained head injuries when another teenager assaulted him. It took place last Sunday afternoon on one of the bus stops near the bottom of Old Market. Anyone with any information is encouraged to call the police on the non-urgent helpline 101.
Pink News reports that the controversial restaurant chain Chick-fil-A, which had recently launched its debut British store at Reading, has decided to pull out of the country and would not be renewing its lease after a trial period. A spokesperson for the organisation denied that the decision was in any way linked to lively and popular LGBTQ-led protests, which also included liberal people of faith and atheist campaigners who were all concerned that the proprietor's backing is highly conservative, if not fundamentalist. Meanwhile, the news of the withdrawal from the UK also received backing from vegan and vegetarian campaigners and those who take a stance on animal rights. Many animal and vegan networks blogged that chickens were not well treated in factory farming that supplies the poultry food industry.
Lesbians and gays support the migrants, a left-leaning LGBTQ campaign group with a vigorous record in working with other agencies for the welfare of refugees, has issued a scathing look at state policy on its Facebook page. The group says, with the news that 39 people, including one minor, have been found dead in a lorry in Essex, we are faced with the horrific lethality of our borders once again. We have had, they say, enough of Boris Johnson's thoughts and prayers as they lament this tragedy. Johnson says all such traders in human beings should be hunted down and brought to justice. But if there's truth to his words, he should start with himself. For the full press release, you can visit the LGSM website or consult the Left Wing or Progressive Press.
The former leader of the Scottish Conservatives, a gay woman whose magic touch revitalised the party's performance in the country, where it has always struggled, has been slammed by some commentators for taking on a PR consultancy role with an international firm while she is still an MSP. Ruth Davidson stepped down as Scottish Tory leader during the summer, but midweek it was announced that she was working for Tolchin Communications, a respected PR organisation. Ms Davidson also continues to write a column for the Scottish Mail on Sunday, a paper which is much softer politically than its more right-wing southern namesake.
ABC News Channel will broadcast a harrowing but essential story this evening, October the 24th. The US-based international TV channel will follow a gay journalist, James Longman, as he explores the horror story that is the Chechen nationalist enclave in Russia, a semi-autonomous region tolerated by the Moscow government despite its flagrant dictatorial ambitions and refusal to obey international standards for LGBTQ human rights.
A couple of hot releases that might interest fans of entertainment and the performing arts have been spotted by our eagle-eyed team. First of all, Me, the only full and frank autobiography penned by Elton John himself, is out now and is flying off the shelves from HMV in Bristol. Mr John is most definitely a queer icon and is not afraid of offending his critics, with his taking on of Russia's centralising power, demanding that religion be formally banned, or with his incredible fundraising for HIV support charities. Meanwhile, Jonathan Van Ness, the trailblazing star from hit TV show Queer Eye, has also published his autobiography called Over the Top. It's stocked in the new hardback section in Waterstones bookstores.
And finally, fans of The Good Doctor will be intrigued to know that those wicked masters of destruction and domination, no, not Leathermen, but Daleks, have been sighted trundling over Bristol's iconic Clifton Suspension Bridge. BBC Radio reported on Tuesday afternoon that the historic bridge was closed for essential maintenance, but eagle-eyed gay science fiction fans soon noted that the motorised giant alien Pepper Potts had taken over the bridge along with a film crew. For those of you perhaps unfamiliar with one of Britain's most enduring and camp television programmes, the Daleks are an enemy of the Time Lord known as the Doctor in the world's longest-running sci-fi programme, Doctor Who. They first appeared in a story transmitted in December 1963 and have returned to battle against the many incarnations of the Doctor, who is currently in her first female body, courtesy of the acclaimed actor Jodie Whittaker. The next series of Doctor Who is to be screened in 2020, but rumours abound that the sequence shot on Tuesday was for a special festive story earmarked for transmission, possibly on New Year's Day.
That all sounds very wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey to me, Terry. For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Before Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Hans Peregrin.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Too good to be forgotten.
I love
That's
it.
Not you, Lara. Well, you are.
Too good to be forgotten. Excuse me.
That's,
I mean, I've been forgotten many a times, but.
Not by me.
Not by you. Never by you, Matthew. I'm imprinted on your brain now. Like, you can't get rid of me. I'm like herpes.
Scarred.
Like, I will never go away. I will keep coming back in a rush.
Terrible image there. Terrible.
I hope so. That's who I am. I like to instill terrible images in people's minds.
That was Amazulu. Too good to be forgotten there. Do you know what Amazulu means?
You're going to educate me. Go for it.
It means, it's in Zulu language, it's what they used to describe Zulu people. It also means mother of the Zulus.
Ooh.
There you go.
Okay.
Now, time to turn to local policing. We're very pleased to have, well, actually, it wasn't, I'm going to say that, I'll be honest, not the original guest we thought, but Helen Riddell has very kindly come in from Avon Somerset Police. She's a LGBT liaison officer. And you were going to start with an apology you just told me off air.
Only that Esther very much regrets that she wasn't able to come here, so I'll be delivering the messages on her behalf this evening. So,
I met you before. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Hello again.
I met you at Interculture. So.
Yes.
So what's new? Because you've got a new programme, haven't you?
Yes. The outreach workers started within our constabulary 2 weeks ago, so they're just coming to the end of their induction programme. It was an idea that came from the representative workforce initiative that Esther, my colleague, was working on, and she and her colleagues Chris and Serena, who concentrate on that side of the work, decided that the best way to do to make this work real would be to actually employ people from the community with experience to learn about the force and to go out and do that community outreach work and try and improve our representation within the constabulary.
It's about being about being black and gay then. Is it to do with like initiative being unrepresented, or is it just anyone within the community that they're...
Well, originally there was a particular focus about raising the amount of ethnically diverse people within the constabulary. So that has been a long-term goal for forces for a long time. But Esther and her team have taken that wider, and so not only do we have people of colour, but we also have representatives from all protected characteristics now.
Okay, so what do you think has been, I mean, Edson, you can jump in at any point, but like, what do you think has been the main problem with getting underrepresented groups, like black and gay people, into your constabulary, as you say?
I think, well, historically there have been many well-publicised areas of concern from the community where people have been badly treated and been marginalised in the past, and you can completely understand why there has been a breakdown in trust. But we are working very, very hard to improve the culture within our organisation to attract people and see it as a career of choice.
Do you have any women of colour within the police force at the moment?
Yes, we do.
So Esther's one of them? Or?
Well, Esther is not a uniformed officer, okay, but she's a member of our police staff. She's our diversity manager, actually.
Okay. And so do you feel like it's a good environment for them to be within? Have you now done as much diversity so people feel comfortable within your workplace and they don't feel like they're being othered and things like that?
I think I would never presume to say that we've done enough work, and not being able to speak from that perspective. But I do know that one of our black officers in Bristol, Shirley, was awarded the Queen's Policing Medal a couple of years ago for her achievements, and we have got amazing colleagues, and it's just a case of trying to constantly improve on that.
Yeah, no, that sounds good.
I'm aware of, you know, there's a couple of black officers that I've known and worked, well, more than a couple, actually. But I still feel that the legacy of bad policing or injudicious policing has created, you know, it's very difficult to overcome. And I think things are changing. It's a career option for more people, or beginning to consider it. But I think that legacy is hard. But I think a couple to legacy is, I think, sometimes political discourse that still surrounds policing. And I think it's perhaps one of the challenges for local police that nationally, actually, some of the things that get said and police being seen as sort of involved in that are not helpful. So think of the new Home Secretary talking about, you know, we're going to be stopping and searching everyone, that you know, this sort of softly approach needs to go. But in actual fact, we know that as a tool of policing can cause a lot of community tension. So I know on the ground, I'm sure that you're trying to be much more sophisticated than that. But it strikes me as, how do you navigate actually a political climate that isn't really very helpful to local police forces trying to get a community on side?
I definitely agree with an awful lot of what you've just said. But I think what I would encourage people to do is to take the opportunity to have their voices heard where they can be. And within our constabulary, we have got several panels, several independent advisory groups all across the force, and also with the Police and Crime Commissioner's independent panels. And I would really, really encourage people to put themselves forward in those roles so that their opinions and their voices can actually shape the policing that they see on the streets where they live and work.
Of course, in the news, sort of tied into to what we're talking about here, today, figures released by the Home Office say that less than 2% of full-time police officers in England and Wales are women, in particular, from BAME backgrounds. So it's it, you know, when you're looking at role models within the force, we talked about role models earlier in sport, but role models in those kind of positions of power, those jobs as well, if we can, you want to fix that, because then that should, in the long term, make the relationships with those communities with the force even stronger.
I think one of the ways that that the constabulary has looked at that is to try and expand the methods of entry into policing, and I know the Home Office has done a lot of research around this. So there are several ways or pathways into policing nowadays, and of course don't forget that it's not just uniform policing. There's a huge variety of roles that people can do within policing, but you know, trying to make those roles more attractive for people and more flexible, because it's no good saying to a woman with a family that you've got to go and spend 6 months in training school. It's just never going to happen, and it's not going to work. So we're missing out on all those skills and life experiences of people. So, you know, it's important that the Home Office, who sets up those structures of how people enter into policing, that they listen to those voices and adapt the entry methods.
Well, I'm sure it's a conversation that's going to carry on, and we look forward to welcoming you back, and Esther as well, to shout out to hear how it's all going.
Thank you very much.
Helen Riddell from Avon and Somerset Police. Thank you for coming
to
talk to us and shout out.
Thank you. Good night.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, it's just that's
so
lovely.
Relaxing. I do love classical music. So who was that by?
This is a duet, actually. It's Segu Keita and Catherine Finch. Catherine Finch is a Welsh harpist, but Segu Keita is from Senegal, and he's playing the kora, which
I
is
love
a sort
these
of
songs you've chosen.
It's a type of harp. Well, all from black. They all feature black artists, you
yeah,
see.
Yeah, yeah.
And the kora is a sort of hollowed out gourd, like giant pumpkin thing with an arm coming out of it. It's got 21 strings on it, and you pluck it like a harp. So that's the core you're hearing there in the background. You like that? So,
yeah. Don't know why.
Quick, let's move on. Quick. Right, it's the final bit of the final bit of the show, and we've got some news in. Terry, news editor. Quick.
Hello. Yes, Northern Ireland has legalised same-sex marriage and abortion rights. And most of the press coverage we've seen in the last couple of days has been about the change in the law on abortion, which obviously is a major...
This is big news.
Major news for Northern Ireland, because it's a very conservative part of the United Kingdom, largely sort of dominated by quite Presbyterian kind of politics. And as I say, the Westminster Parliament have ruled that if Stormont, which is the devolved assembly, didn't sit at the end of October, then they would impose a change in the law on both those issues.
So of course, they're not sitting, are they?
There was a major bust-up between the Democratic Unionist Party and Sinn Féin, who have obviously been at loggerheads for a very long time, so they haven't sat for a long time.
Last part of the UK, isn't it?
So as far as same-sex marriage and abortion, for that matter, is concerned, that's the last part of the United Kingdom where they come to.
Amazing. Thank you for informing us.
Not a problem. Can I just say that Amazulu, fantastic band, and their 1985 hit Don't You Just Know It was written by my mum's cousin,
and he's delighted to work with us.
Good, so yeah, two yeah.
Terry, drop that name.
Family Connection.
Really good band. Love them. Yeah, fantastic.
Extraordinary stuff.
I love the name as well. I'm going to use
it. Yeah, it is good. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much,
and
Terry.
All women band as well. Yeah, which is fantastic.
They were, apart from the drummer. The drummer was.
I stand corrected.
Yeah, there we go. Right, well, that music in the background means we've reached the end of the show.
If you'd like to listen again or catch previous show episodes of Shout Out, just go to our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt. On next week's show, we'll be going all scary for Halloween.
Right, thank you, Lara. Well, you've been listening to Shout Out with Matthew Tosh and Laura Lelamy. It was produced by Steffi Barnett in Bristol and is broadcast from the BCFM studios. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we look forward to your company again next week. Until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.